Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready to wrap up their series in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. And as the road trip continues, all's quiet at Petco Park except for Jesse Agler and our show.
Right now, though, all quiet except for the AMR studio, which is all lit up and ready to go.
Also making noise at Petco, we've got Bill Center, who's perfectly content to stay here in San Diego even when the team's out on the road.
I never enjoyed airports travel. I hate airports.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Hey, happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy Father's Day, Bill Center.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. We are live at Petco Park on a beautiful Sunday in downtown San Diego as we get ready for the final game of a three-game series between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. They are playing in not-so-beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, not this time of year. We are live at the AMR studio at Petco Park, and it is not very quiet here. The team store is all lit up, ready to go. People are there, and a lot of Father's Day shopping, it would appear, taking place. Everybody's coming to get their Padre gear for Father's Day, so nice to see some folks hanging around the team store here at Petco Park. We'll talk a lot about Tyson Ross today. We'll continue to talk about Max Scherzer and Jose Tabata yesterday, because I want to bait you, Bill Center. I want to hear what you have to say so that I can argue with you and disagree with you, because I feel like you and I may come down differently on the situation with the perfect game slash no-hitter yesterday. But obviously, Tyson Ross last night in Arizona, I believe, as they say, that is just what the doctor ordered.
Oh, absolutely. And I have five thoughts each day that I write in on the Padres.com. And yesterday, my thought was that, hey, if this team's going to get going, Tyson Ross and Andrew Cashner have to start pitching like they did last year right now. And what happens, Tyson last night, best game of the year, maybe the best game of the year of any Padres pitcher. I mean, that was excellent. In command, in control all the way. Four hits, one walk, which is a major thing
for
him.
That's the lead.
Right. And even bigger than that was the number of times that he went out strike one right away, kept the pitch count down 111. He averaged only 12 pitches an inning. His previous three games, he was averaging 20 pitches an inning. Big difference. Kept the runners off base. Strike one. I loved it. I thought it was Tyson at his best.
We've talked so much this year about efficiency from starting pitchers, or lack thereof, for the Padres. And to see a guy pitching in the seventh, eighth inning with like 80 pitches was so refreshing. And obviously at the end of the night, rewarding for Tyson Ross as well. And you mentioned strike one. I mentioned the walks. Those things are obviously correlated.
Right.
They are not independent of one another. And the fact that he was able to get ahead of guys led certainly to the fact that he was able to walk as few as he did. It's been a lot of walks, you know, so far this year for Tyson Ross. Not the case.
And when we started the game, the only walk he gave up, he got ahead in the first inning. He got ahead as Goldschmidt, 0-2, and then ball, 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 ball. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I hope we're not going back into that pattern again. And he didn't. After that, it was really smooth sailing.
Complete game for Tyson Ross. Right. A run on four hits, the one walk, and nine strikeouts. It was nice seeing him finish it. You weren't quite sure at the end. They had busted it open, and so you felt fine about the result of the game. But you don't want to overwork the guy just for the sake of the complete game. And that double play, it was like, all right, that's exactly what you wanted.
Except I think Pat Murphy wanted that complete game just to send a message to all the pitchers.
Now, hey, it's interesting you say that.
Okay.
All right, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because I think that, hey, if you're doing well and you're going good, you stay in there. And I think that he went the whole nine innings, sort of send a message.
All right, here's what Pat Murphy said after the game about the complete game and about Tyson Ross going the distance.
I was thinking, you know, what's the game situation to dictate it? You know, I would have taken him out in a heartbeat if the situation called for it. But talking to my staff, they said, hey, it's important that he gets the complete game, and staff decided on that, and I would have probably pulled him, to be honest with you.
He says he basically, it sounds like he got talked into leaving him in. I think once the score kind of became 8-1, you figure, hey, save the bullets. But you're exactly right. The guys on this coaching staff who have been here all season and right. who have seen the Padres have, you know, their issues with pitchers going deep into games, they're saying, hey, no, this is a message time, you know,
right.
for the staff.
And I thought it was a great message to send. And now today, I'd love to see Cashner come right back and do the same thing. Get on a roll going into San Francisco. You don't know what's going to happen up there. But the Padres at some point here before the All-Star game really need to put together a roll.
They haven't won back-to-back games since earlier this month when
right.
they'd won four in a row.
Right.
That was like 2 weeks ago. They haven't won back-to-back games in quite a while, and certainly today would be a good day to end that and to get on that roll that you're talking about. Andrew Cashner will be out on the mound. Interestingly, the Padres playing in Arizona for both Mother's Day last month and Father's Day today. Cashner starting both of those games.
Right.
So that's kind of a thing. I don't know that it's really all that interesting, but it was an observation I made.
And when I say get on a roll, I don't mean like win 7 or 8 straight games, as nice as that would be. I mean win 8 out of 10, win 12 out of 15. Get on a good roll here. Get some momentum so that you just can keep building through the All-Star game for the second half of the season.
That's exactly what everybody is looking for. All right, the show, as always, is interactive. You can join us on Twitter by using the hashtag PadresSH. Send in your questions and your comments with that hashtag. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to chat live with other fans. We'll talk more about Tyson Ross as time goes on, obviously, from last night. Clint Barmas was a huge part of the victory as well, not just defensively, but at the plate. 3 for 4, a couple of doubles, a single, 2 RBIs, 2 runs. He had a great at-bat in the 6th inning. He is proving himself to be, at this moment at least, a very important cog for the Padres.
Absolutely. I mean, since the end of May, the last day in May, he's hitting just around .400. He's really on a good roll right now. So I like him at shortstop, and I like that veteran presence at shortstop.
He is so smooth and
right.
so easy
right.
at shortstop. You never worry about anything when the throw comes to him.
Right.
Or, excuse me,
the
when ball. The ball is hit to him.
Right.
At shortstop. You're not concerned.
He converts everything he gets to.
That's exactly right. And so to see him, you know, contribute the way he did offensively last night as well was really just icing on the cake. Really, really nice night for Clint Barmas. So he gets a mention, as should really the rest of the bottom of the order. Tyson had the RBI triple out of the 9-hole, but Barmas and Amarista and Hedges were all sort of in the mix offensively at different points last night.
Surprisingly, last night was the first RBI by a Padres pitcher this season.
Well, they only had a sacrifice bunt a couple weeks ago for the first time.
Right.
Crazy. Yeah. But Tyson was able to get it done. It's funny because I think a lot of people this year, and you and I were talking about this before the show started today, a lot of people this year have really been picking on the bottom of the order or picking on the lack of production out of Matt Kemp in the last couple. And I'm not suggesting that like there's been a ton of production out of all of these guys every day. There obviously hasn't. But to me, like, that's not the problem with the Padre team. And we talked about it a little bit at the end of the show yesterday with Randy Jones. You know, I think going into last night's game, the Padres were 3rd in the National League in runs scored. I think they were the only team in the National League that had 3 guys with 35 or more RBIs. And it's been the pitching that has actually been the issue for the Padres. Now, look, they have spoiled some good pitching performances by not scoring on those particular games. But generally speaking, the Padre pitchers have not held up their end of the bargain. And that's another reason why yesterday was so encouraging and another reason why today is so critical for Andrew Cashner. It's really easy to say, hey, Amarista's barely hitting .200 or Kemp's only got the 4 home runs, whatever you want to say. And all that is obviously accurate. But to me, when you talk about wins and losses and results for the Padres, I'm looking more at the pitchers than I am at the hitters.
And sadly, I'm looking at 2 pitchers. I'm looking at Ross and I'm looking at Cashner. Going into last night, or even after last night, those two combined, when they pitch, the Padres are 10-19. Now, there are extenuating circumstances. There have been games where they haven't got runs. There have been games where they've made errors and given up unearned runs. But both of them have struggled. Ross has struggled with getting the first pitch, getting guys out. Cashner has struggled getting out of innings when he's got guys on base. And their combined earned run averages are a run above what they were last year. And those two guys who you're counting on, the fact that the Padres are 10-19 when they start games, to me, you turn that around. And this whole season's turned around.
Very telling statistic, certainly. All right, we'll take a break, come back. talk more about last night's game, hear more from Pat Murphy. Tyson Ross obviously setting the tone, doing a great job. First complete game of the season for the Padres last night. We'll get to your questions and comments. Also coming up in a little bit, we're going to replay an interview we did earlier this week with John Baker, the former Padre catcher who wrote a nice piece for FoxSports.com, sort of about the right way to play the game and some of the unwritten rules. And that sort of came back into focus maybe a little bit yesterday with that Nationals Pirates Jose Tabata situation. So we'll replay what John Baker had to say earlier this week coming
I
up
like it.
As well. I'm glad. Hey, be at Petco Park on Friday night for San Diego's biggest happy hour. It's back. Padres Beer Fest returns. It features live entertainment plus $5 beers from a variety of local and national breweries. Stay for the action as the Padres take on the Diamondbacks at 7:10. Get your tickets at Padres.com/Beer Fest. It is back 5 days from now, Friday night, Padres.com/Beer Fest. We'll take a break. Come back. More Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Rubber game between the Padres and the Diamondbacks coming up from Chase Field in Phoenix. Andrew Cashner will be on the mound against Jeremy Hellickson. Last night, Tyson Ross took care of business. Pat Murphy, after the game, talked about what Tyson did for this team last night. And obviously the nine innings and the one run and the four hits was a big part of it. But have a listen here to what the Padre manager had to say about what else Ross did for the ball club last night.
You know, what can you say about Tyson Ross? You know, that sets the tone a lot. You can relax a little bit when a guy's punching guys out and pitching the way he was. I mean, Darren's made a nice adjustment with him between starts and you know, he's not going to let you know what that is, but that was a beautiful outing.
Sets the tone. Those are the three words you want to be able to say right about your starting pitcher at the end of the night.
Plus, he got ground balls, and he got ground balls early in the count. He got ground balls after throwing strike one, and that's what keeps the pitch count down. You can still have the 9 or 10 strikeouts, but if you're getting ground balls in the second pitch you throw, which you got a lot of, that keeps the pitch count down. That keeps you going. And that keeps everybody in the game. I don't know if everybody else knows. That game really moved quickly last night. And the guy who moved it quickly was Tyson Ross. He also stepped his tempo up, which I think might be one of the adjustments that Pat's talking about.
I noticed it right away. Right. And Robbie Ray was working quickly, too, for Arizona. So it was sort of going nicely. By the way, what's up with Addison Reed?
Whoa. And that was a terrible inning, and I mean, they were booing him even before he got to the mound.
Yeah, no, it's been a big struggle for him.
Right, and sometimes you just see that you know, their second or third year in there. We've had players like that too. That all of a sudden, I mean, you can sort of say, sadly, the same thing about Jed Jerko. That players in this game, everybody else is always adjusting, and maybe hitters have seen something in Addison Reed. And he hasn't adjusted away from it yet. So.
I would say that's probably the case. I mean,
right.
And Lord knows what it is.
Right.
But he's not fooling anybody right now.
Well, one of the things we saw earlier this year with Tyson Ross was with some of the walks is his slider was out of the zone. And hitters were just laying off the slider. Then he was getting behind 2-0 on the count with the slider coming in with the fastball. And they were hitting it. Last night, his slider was at the bottom of the zone. Mm-hmm. Just a couple inches made a huge difference.
He was fantastic last night.
He was really, really good.
So Norris started at first base. Amarista started at second base. Are we starting to learn things about Pat Murphy and the way he wants to construct the deal?
Yeah, I think he's – and he did the same thing at El Paso. He had, Cody Decker. He had him playing third base. He had him catch a little bit. He had him play first base. He moves players around, and that's sort of, again, the old college influence. You better be ready to grab a glove and go somewhere. May not know where it's going to be. But, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of players moving around.
Yeah.
I think he's going to miss and match the lineup depending on what offensive matchups he likes.
He said after the game, one thing I read in the paper was He's not taking Nor's not getting a day off against a left-handed starter.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
That's right.
And it was probably a little bit tongue-in-cheek, so we shouldn't hold him to it literally, but you obviously understand what he's talking about. And so, okay, what's he want to do? Okay, fine. Yay, perfect. Alonso against the lefty, even though he's hit lefties well this year, but that's a nice opportunity to give him a break. You move Norris to first base. You get Austin Hedges to catch. And is he an X factor when it comes to a guy like Tyson Ross? I don't know. I mean, you saw it all over Twitter last night, people wanting to give Austin Hedges credit for Tyson Ross's great outing. I don't know how much credit he deserves, but it's part of the formula.
Right.
I mean, it's part of the success that he had last night.
Well, last year we got – it became a big deal last year that pitchers like throwing to Rene Rivera, and it got blown – I mean, and they did like throwing to Rene Rivera. Well, I think people are in a bandwagon of, oh, well, Hedges is a much better catcher than Norris. I'm not quite sure that it's to the degree that it was last year with Rivera. But, yeah, but it gives you the bat in the lineup. And with Alonso, tough left-handers like Robbie Ray, tough left-handers you're gonna take, a Kershaw, a Robbie Ray, somebody like that, a tough left-hander, you'll give Alonso the day off.
I was very impressed by Robbie Ray. And the Padres had a good approach against
right.
him. They sort of waited him out. But you can see that's an impressive young guy. And with some good coaching, he could be around for a while.
That is a very – and it's a very nice delivery, too.
Nice and smooth for a lefty.
Right,
Mudd said it early, and Dick too. Like you don't see a lot of left-handers throwing 95, 96, and he was doing that last night. But good approach by the Padres, patient approach against him, and they really waited him out. All right, we're going to hear from John Baker in a few minutes, the former Padre catcher. So yesterday, Max Scherzer, Jose Tabata, Bill, you're old school. You're cut from a different cloth than I am, maybe, although we actually agree quite a bit on things. But what did you make of Jose Tabata? And let me say this. A lot of the pitching people out there, including Randy Jones on this show yesterday, including Max Scherzer, the guy who threw the pitch yesterday, said, hey, that's on the pitcher. He didn't finish his pitch.
Right.
The slider backed up on him. It didn't go down in a way the way it was supposed to. That's on the pitcher. Let's forget that for a moment and just talk about the fun part of this, which is Jose Tabata getting hit by a pitch to break up a perfect game with two outs and two strikes in the ninth inning. What did you make of Jose Tabata yesterday?
You know, I believe that the game should be played to win no matter what the circumstances. So if he can get hit by a pitch, I don't have a problem with that. I have more of a problem with the umpire. If you don't think he tried to get out of the way and he looked like he sort of dropped his leg into it, then you've got a call that you've got to make the call that, hey, you didn't try to get out of the way of the pitch, which the rule says you must try. And when you look at it, and again, I don't know if we can show it again, Tabata sort of looks to the umpire to see, hey, what are you going to call right there? Because I think Tabata sort of knew that he leaned down into it. I don't have a problem with that. I think the umpire's got to make the decision and make it quick. Did he try to get out of the way or did he not? And I don't think he did.
All right, so basically we agree 100%. That's interesting. I thought we were going to disagree on this. A lot of the baseball Neanderthals out there, the fans, the Neanderthal fans, not all the fans. Now, look, I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. Nationals fans get a total pass from me.
Sure.
If they want to, like, you know, just throw with the guy every time from now until the end of his career, I get that. If you're a Nats fan, you have every right to be upset. You don't have to be rational about it because you're a fan of the team. But for anyone who's not a Nationals fan that doesn't really have an interest in this thing, get over it.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, unwritten rules, grr. It's caveman stuff, man. It's 2015. Get over it.
Now, I will say this.
Uh-oh.
If I'm a Nationals pitcher today and I'm way ahead, which I think they are, and Tabata comes up,
I might say,
you want to know what it's like to get thrown at? Well, here it is.
Yeah.
And okay.
Hey, that's always fun. Right. Anything that clears the benches, I'm in favor of.
Dance.
I enjoy that part of
right.
the game. All right, fair enough. We'll take a break when we come back. More on the unwritten rules of baseball and how to play the right way, quote-unquote, with the former Padre catcher, John Baker. Do you know an all-star mom? Well, Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. So go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. On Father's Day, we're talking about moms. What can you do? Take a break. Come back. John Baker right after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. We're live from the AMR studio at Petco Park, under an hour away from first pitch in Oakland. Padres and the Atleticos coming up. We're going to step aside from last night's 16-2 loss for a few minutes. I don't think anybody will mind that, and we're going to go big picture baseball here. And what I think is really one of the most sort of intriguing and compelling storylines going on in the big leagues the last couple of seasons, and it's this whole the playing the game the right way, quote unquote, and the unwritten rules and bat flips and everything that goes with it. And former Padre catcher John Baker wrote a really thought-provoking piece on all of this for FoxSports.com yesterday. I hope you've checked it out by now. If you haven't, you can find the link on his Twitter, at ManBearWolf, great Twitter handle. And he joins us now on the Cholula Hotline. Hey, John, we appreciate it, man. First of all, hope all is well, and thanks for taking a few minutes for us this morning.
Yeah, I've got plenty of free time right now. it's kind of sad when the career winds up like this and you find yourself at home during the summer. But I'm enjoying being at home during the summer, and I'm having a lot of time to think about kind of that big picture baseball stuff.
Well, that's what you're doing, and you did a really good job taking those thoughts and translating them into writing. I hope we see more of it from you, and you're always welcome to Padres Social Hour if you're looking for things to do. But what inspired you to write this specific, you know, piece for FoxSports.com and sort of, you know, going into your experience in the Dominican winter ball and seeing sort of the difference in the baseball culture there as opposed to here?
Well, two things mainly kind of inspired me to write that piece. The first one was the home run that Junior Lake hit off of Dan Heron in Miami. And him, you know, kind of standing there and walking and flipping his bat. And then the Marlins dugout was very upset afterwards. And there was a lot of chatter on the internet that I was reading about people's differing opinions. The second thing was watching my nephew's high school baseball games. They're in the playoffs here in Northern California. And I was watching them play. And I started to notice all this behavior that wasn't happening when I was in high school on the field. Guys celebrating doubles at second base with their, you know, whatever they are, deer antlers, or clapping and swinging their hips around. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, we never thought about this when I was a kid in high school. Stuff is changing, and it's getting to the high school level, the little league level, and it's clearly celebrated when we watch the highlight shows on television. So it kind of got me thinking about what I actually thought about what playing the game the right way is.
Well, do you think that it's John, Bill Center here, and good talking to you again.
You too, Bill.
Which, by the way, this gives you a little time to get classical gas down, as we've talked about before.
The impossible guitar song.
Right, exactly. But you can do it. If anybody can do it, you can do it. Where do you – I mean – but there are times where some celebrations are fun to watch. Other ones, you know, in my mind, even cross the line. Where do you really, you know, do you have a line that you can draw that, you know, you think celebrations, or do you have to take everyone on its own and try to reason who's doing it and why?
Yeah, I think it's more along those lines. But, again, it's a very gray area that I think just generally needs to be discussed. It's funny, I was looking through old baseball GIFs, you know, those little animated videos, and I found a couple videos of Lou Gehrig, and I saw him hitting a home run and kind of walking towards the dugout. It looked what you would see on Baseball Tonight right now. So it's been around for a long time, especially in the United States. It's getting highlighted more and more now when we have this kind of influx of different cultures coming in and playing baseball and how they play baseball. If you watch Asian baseballs, you see bats flying everywhere.
Right.
Korea and Japan. And it's okay. You watch Latin American baseball, specifically in those countries, and you see different behavior. You see what people have learned. And so I think that there's a responsibility of those players coming here to learn the game as we play it in the United States and make those adjustments when they start to make people upset. But my main point is that we do need to look at every single instance individually, take what we can learn from there, and then communicate to those players if we actually believe that behavior is improper or if it's outside of the box too far, so that they know and they understand why other players are getting mad.
Babe Ruth, by the way, was one to really admire his home runs. If you ever watch any film of Babe Ruth, when he took the swing, he would stand there and he'd watch it, and then he'd leave the batter's box.
Well, I think that's such a good point, because that's something that John pointed out in his piece, which is that the guys that generally admire their home runs the most are the guys that hit the most home runs, those big power-hitting sluggers. So the argument is always act like you've been there before, but then, John, the guys that have been there over and over and over again are generally, it seems, the guys that are standing there and watching them at the plate.
Yeah, they have a signature move. You know, Sammy Sosa had his hop. Mark McGwire had the big, you know, double fist pump and the punch to the stomach. Griffey had that beautiful swing and the ability to just kind of stand there and watch in home plate, drop the bat. Bonds did some both ridiculous and incredible moves after home runs, spins and claps and points straight up to the air. I mean, those are the guys that hit the most home runs.
You ran hard. Yeah. I remember that. When you hit a home run, you took off.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's how I learned how to play baseball from my dad. You know, I always ran, and I also never knew if I hit it over the fence when I hit it, so I figured I'd better run in case I might be able to get to third base. And that was never really a big part of who I was as a player, and I started noticing it more and more in professional baseball from other players and how mad it would make some guys and how other guys just didn't really care at all.
John Baker is with us on Twitter at ManBearWolf. I certainly don't want to ask you to speak for all of baseball, but in your opinion, what's the balance here? Where would you like to see it? Where do you think, you know, we can sort of, you know, balance some of the theatrics and the excitement that you see from some guys versus the old school preferences of others in the major leagues today?
You know, I don't know if there is a balance, and I think it's part of the thing that's it's intriguing about watching a baseball game for me is how are people going to respond? You know, when you see. You think about the David Ortiz and David Price in the past, you know, where David Ortiz hit some big home runs off of David Price, hit some home runs in the playoffs against the Rays, and then years later he gets hit and they keep going back and forth. That to me is interesting, trying to unravel that sort of mystery of baseball. It's part of to me what makes baseball exciting. You know, I enjoy watching Angel Pagan spit his gum at Derek Norris, and I don't know if he actually spit his gum or what made Norris mad, but to me that's an intriguing part of baseball. The same thing with how we celebrate once we've done. But like I said, we have to take into account where these people are from, how they learned how to play the game, and is their intention when they do this move to show up somebody else and to disrespect another player, or is it to celebrate either their achievement or their opportunity?
You know, you could also, I mean, just some of the celebrations on walk-off wins. I mean, some of them really get, I mean, they are extreme. And I've wondered sometimes when you're walking off the field and you see people like, that wasn't how it used to be done in old-time baseball.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, as a player, I used to like to sit in the dugout when the other team won or walked us off in a game. And my good friend of mine, Ryan Kalish, and I were talking about this last year. We opened the season in Pittsburgh with the Cubs, and we got walked off the first two games. And my point, when I sat there and they were celebrating, you know, and that was a big celebration for the Pirates. They, you know, Neil Walker walks off his hometown team on opening day against the Cubs, against the rivals. And we're sitting there, I said, it's important for us to watch this celebration because losing is fun. Losing is not fun, excuse me. Winning is really fun. Losing sucks. But watch the other team celebrate and try to suck in whatever positivity you can from that and remember how bad you feel when this happens. And use that as motivation as you move forward to try to win the game, John, try to prepare a little bit better.
John Baker is with us. I want to ask you about something semi-off topic, I guess, position players pitching. I believe we've seen it from you in your career. We saw it from Alexi Amarista last night in Oakland. And we were having the, you know, semi-serious conversation about it at the beginning of the show today and how it can kind of, you know, change the taste in your mouth at the end of that game, as opposed to 16-2 when you're just upset. It's 16-2 and you got to watch something somewhat entertaining. Is that kind of the point, I guess, when we see these sorts of things? And what can that do for the guys on the team?
Well, I think it definitely adds to morale. You know, you're going to get beat like that in baseball. You're going to lose games 16-2. You're going to have games where your starter has trouble getting out of the first inning and the bullpen's strapped. And you have to put a position player out there. And so, yeah, it does definitely boost morale. I also like it because it's the worst at bat in baseball. I've never been more nervous in my career, minor leagues or major leagues, and I never did it in the big leagues, but batting against a position player to me is the most nerve-wracking experience in baseball. It's why I had confidence when I pitched last year, because I knew that that's the at-bat that you absolutely do not want, unless you're pitching against Wilson Ramos. He's the one guy who he has two home runs off position players. But I enjoyed pitching, and I'm sure that the entire team could kind of look beyond that, erase that 16-0 deficit or 16-2 loss, and look at the ninja pitching and saying, well, we're still playing a game. We're still having fun. Isn't this awesome that this guy's on the mound?
So when you're pitching as a position player, when you were out in the mound pitching, you thought you had the advantage over the hitter because he was actually more nervous about looking bad than you were?
100%.
Makes sense.
Now you have to, whatever competitive edge you have to, you know, put into your head when you go in to do something, that's how I took at it. And I thought, you know, I've thrown batting practice in the past. I've watched guys not hit the ball hard in batting practice for an entire day, for 5 rounds of 7 swings off somebody throwing 60 miles an hour. So my thought when I got on that mound was, if I can throw really bad batting practice to major league hitters, they're not going to hit the ball hard.
John Baker is with us, wrote that great piece, foxsports.com, yesterday, just a bit outside, about playing the game the right way and what that means to each individual player in the broader context of the world of baseball.
By the way, John, I just want to tell you, I really thought, I read it this morning. Actually, Jesse showed it to me. I hadn't seen it. And that was really thought-provoking. But, like, I've had a number of conversations with you over the years, and they've always been thought-provoking. So, and you started out one direction and went another way, and the more I got into it, I thought, hey, there are a lot of good points in here. You got to understand where a guy's come from and why he might be doing what he's doing.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you, and I appreciate you finding me interesting. I sometimes get lost in my own head, and I feel like I'm kind of interesting, too.
Hey, you're definitely interesting. Is there going to be more writing in your future? What can we look out for here?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's been a lot of stuff I've thought about over my career that I've never had a chance to sit down and try to formulate some sort of coherent output about it. But one of the ones that I've really thought about a lot is performance-enhancing drugs and steroids. And I think that that's something I would really like to touch on. I think that anything controversial that seems to, I feel like we cover steroids, our media covers steroids, but we don't generally look at it from every possible angle. You know, my favorite author of all time is, or at least to read essay-wise, is Christopher Hitchens. And one of the things that he always would say is that if you don't understand your opponent's position, you know, you're not reading enough information. And I'd like to look at some of these issues from more than one perspective, kind of like I did with this past piece that I wrote, and really figure out how I feel. And I think that's what the best part about doing this stuff for me is I write all this stuff out. I kind of hone it into being coherent, and then I actually figure out what my own opinion is because it constantly switches back and forth.
Very nice. John Baker has been on the Cholula Hotline. John, great to hear from you. Really enjoyed the piece, as we said. Hope everybody finds it on foxsports.com. And be in touch, man. We'll definitely keep an eye out for the things you write in the future, PED-related or otherwise.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Hey, don't be a stranger.
There you go.
I won't, Bill. Thank you.
There you go. John Baker on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Good dude.
And intelligent, a very intellectual ball player, broke down, and we discussed some different things before, and he would take a really deep look into things. We were talking before that sometimes you would ask him a question, and he would just start talking, and it was everything you wanted to hang on, but he could go on for a long time on subjects. I really, really intelligent guy.
I was going to say, as a writer, I don't know that there's anything more you could ask for than somebody like that. It gives you plenty of material. So check out the piece, foxsports.com. Thanks again to John Baker for joining us. We'll take a break, come back, get to some of your questions on Twitter. Use that hashtag PadresSH. And also talk about some other stuff of note taking place around Major League Baseball. From the AMR studio at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. We're live at the AMR studio at Petco Park, and we are live now. That last interview was from a couple of days ago with John Baker, and we appreciate him taking the time, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation if you missed it. Last night, the Padres, an 8-1 win over the Diamondbacks. Tyson Ross goes the distance. First time this year a Padre pitcher has done so. Tonight, or today, I should say, Father's Day, this first day of summer, Andrew Cashner will go to the hill against Jeremy Hellickson at Chase Field. And more of the same, please, from the Padre pitcher.
Absolutely. That would be great.
He doesn't have to go nine. I'll take eight. I'll take eight, Cash. I'll take seven plus. Seven two-thirds, something like that?
I want seven solid.
Seven solid. Okay. Right. You're lowering your sights. That's fine. Got some tweets coming in. We haven't gotten to any tweets yet today.
No.
Our apologies. We've been busy having our own conversations. Remember, you can always use the hashtag PadresSH to join the conversation on Twitter by tweeting and using the hashtag. So some tweets have come in. Thomas is up first, and Thomas says, I have to ask, is that a Tin Caps shirt? It is. It's a Fort Wayne Tin Caps, the Padres single-A affiliate in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a great minor league logo, by the way. Great minor league. It's like they got the Johnny Appleseed thing going. And John Conniff, our buddy, who writes for MadFriars.com and travels to the different minor league affiliates to write about them, he had the Tin Caps send Blooper and I a couple of shirts, which I thought was a very nice – don't be offended. Don't be offended. We're the ones that like email him and stuff.
I – do the minor league report each day.
I know.
I talk to him all the time.
You talk to John all the time?
Not to John.
Okay. So John was nice enough at Mad Friars to have them send us a couple of shirts. Blooper got a T-shirt. I got a polo. And I said, hey, I got to wear it.
I love, by the way, what they do in Fort Wayne. Beautiful ballpark. I've been there. Great promotion. They sell that place out. They do a great job.
They did, I think it was yesterday, an SNL-themed
right.
night, and the jerseys were like the old Spartan cheerleader jerseys.
From the skit.
Exactly, with Sherry O'Terry and the anchorman, Will Ferrell. So thank you to John and the Tin Caps for sending the shirt. Appreciate it very much. Jake from State Farm is up next on Twitter. He also has a serious question. Can you give us daily updates on bringing Taylor Swift on the show through Twitter? All right, Blooper, he is guaranteed that before her August concert, she's going to be on the show, so we get the daily update. And Blooper, what's the latest on Taylor Swift?
I'll tweet at her again today.
All right, so he hasn't done anything since the last update is,
no.
is the way I interpret that. All right, so good luck. Now, this all started when he dropped the ball getting Mick Jagger on when the
right.
Stones were here. So he guaranteed Taylor Swift, and we realized recently as well, during Comic-Con, Conan O'Brien is going to be in San Diego doing a full week of shows from Spreckles Theater. Here downtown. That's like a five-minute
right.
walk from
here.
That's
just around the corner.
Just around the corner. So, Blooper, what do you think? Conan during Comic-Con?
I'd love that. I'll give it a shot.
All right, he'll give it a shot.
Wow.
I'll try my hardest.
Yeah, you can write him poetry on Twitter the way you did Taylor Swift.
Yes. Yeah.
Just swap out, you know, at Team Coco for at Taylor Swift 13 or whatever, and there you go.
Okay.
All right. He's got it all figured out. He's going to get us Conan O'Brien in July and Taylor Swift in August.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't it be?
Wouldn't it be great to have Conan O'Brien here?
Yeah, he could be a guest on our show. You would think, hey, he'd want to promote everything he's got going. By the way, those shows are going to be unbelievable because you know he's going to have some fun with some
right.
of the Comic-Con people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say the weirdos, but, you know, some of the people that are around San Diego, he's going to have some fun with them. Who knows? Maybe Triumph, the insult comic dog, Robert Smigel, will be around also. He could have some fun and has in the past at Comic-Con. That's going to be a good week of television.
Right.
That's going to be a good week of television. So hopefully, you know what? Forget Conan. Don't forget Conan. If you can't get Conan, maybe Triumph. You think you get Triumph on the show? He's a puppet, for goodness sakes.
You're a dog guy.
I'll try. That seems easier than Taylor Swift and Conan.
Yeah, probably.
I hope.
All right, so see if you can get at least like two of those three people on.
Okay.
Triumph, the insult comic dog, Conan O'Brien, or Taylor Swift.
Two of the three.
How about Pat Murphy this weekend? Do you think you can get us Pat Murphy on the show?
Next week when we're home, I'm going to try.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That one definitely seems realistic.
Let's aim for like Saturday.
Okay, so Pat Murphy, Taylor Swift, and Conan.
And Triumph.
Triumph.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't forget about Triumph. All right, how about a baseball question? Flip Mode 1904 on Twitter wants to know, when, Bill Center, will the Padres make Melvin Upton Jr. the everyday, I assume he means center fielder?
Oh, I don't think that'll happen.
Ever?
No.
What if he continues to hit like he did yesterday?
He had a home run. He's
yeah.
still hitting about 180.
Okay.
But Will Venable from the left side against right-handed hitters is a much better option than Melvin Upton. I could see there'd be a platoon for sure And I could see Melvin being out there sometimes when you wanted to give Justin or Kemp a day off. You would put Melvin in center and have Kemp play one of the corners. But I don't think he's going to be the everyday center fielder.
Okay. Ever.
No.
I think he could earn it.
Well, he could earn it.
Yeah.
He'd have to be the Melvin Upton of three or 4 years ago.
Exactly. If that happens, right. Then he'll be the everyday center fielder.
But
if it doesn't, he won't.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could happen, but I don't see it happening.
All right. Very nice. I agree with that. So there's a guy on Twitter, John, Friar Faithful. And when the Padres win, he always tweets at me and his buddy, Connor, who came here last year. We saw him once. Like a silly vine or a GIF, you know, a goofy video of some sort whenever the Padres win. Many of them are inappropriate, and honestly, some of them are offensive. So usually I ignore him. But last night after the Padres win, he tweeted this vine of, like, the Teletubbies. You remember the Teletubbies?
Absolutely.
Like, dancing. And it hit my funny bone, and our Twitter machine isn't letting us play the vine, but it cracked me up. So we've been tweeting about this all morning, and so we're suggesting that if the Padres get on a hot streak here, we could have like a rally Teletubby situation on our hands.
A rally Teletubbies?
I said, hey, keep it going. It's this hilarious video of these four ridiculous whatever they are, the Teletubbies, and the vacuum cleaner that I think is their parent. I'm not sure about the show and how it works, but they're dancing behind the vacuum cleaner. And so if the Padres keep winning, I want this to become a thing. We were discussing this today. So, John, if the Padres keep winning, the dancing Teletubbies need to become a thing. And if they get, like, really hot, I will talk to Matt Coy, who runs our big video board here at Petco Park, and we'll make this a thing. This is, like, my commitment is serious on this. I want to make the dancing Teletubbies a thing if the Padres keep winning.
I'd rather have a rally insult dog, a triumph the insult dog.
I mean, it's better than the rally monkey that the Angels still use.
I hated that.
Yeah. It's certainly better than the rally lights that the Diamondback fans do.
Right.
With the ridiculous cell phone lights.
You know,
so anyway,
what?
I am all about the rally Teletubbies if they win again today.
And if I'm an umpire, I stop the game.
With the lights?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're old and cranky like that.
No, but I do think that those can affect the game. Hey, we've stopped the game before when there's been a camera in center field or something with a light on.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that having everybody turn on their cell phone lights cannot be a distraction to a hitter who's trying to figure out, you know, how does this ball not strike me in the head if it's poorly thrown.
Yeah.
No, I don't like it. I don't like
that.
No,
I know you don't. I don't like it either. It's ridiculous and stupid.
Right.
My only thought is if it were actually impacting anything on the field, they would have already made a big deal about it. So I'm guessing it doesn't. But someone will complain. It's only a matter of time. Probably when the Diamondbacks are better. And someone will hold that in their back pocket.
25 years from now.
Wow. Hey, it's your hometown pet retailer. Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. If anybody out there knows more about the Teletubbies than I do, can you explain the vacuum to me? Why is the vacuum leading the Teletubbies around the room? Is the vacuum some powerful being from another place? I need to have a better understanding of that. More Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. I think we've started something terrible with the rally Teletubbies. I was sort of encouraging it, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Now you want to get out?
Yeah, I think we may have gone too far. Our buddy Nathan Zach on Twitter, he says, do not ever encourage a Teletubbies rally, ever. I told him it's too late, though. The toothpaste is out of the tube.
Right. You threw it. You tossed it out there.
So John now, Friar Faithful, he's ready to go. I can picture him now photoshopping like a Padre logo into the tummy of one of the Teletubbies because they got those screens, you know, in the middle. I'm not suggesting he does it, but I think
you're not suggesting.
All I know is you had a Teletubby celebration last night in a complete game. So if it keeps rolling, it's one of those things you're not going to be able to stop. One of those things you're not going to be able to stop. Friar Fever liked Seth's job of getting the close up of the tin cap shirt. He says, "Hey, now Padres Social Hour has an extreme close up on Jesse Agler's chest camera in their arsenal. There it is. Possible Emmy award on the way. How about those pecs? Possible Emmy award on the way. Probably not. However, we do want to congratulate our friends and colleagues at Fox Sports San Diego. They cleaned up at the Emmys last night. Won all kinds of awards. So big congratulations to Henry and Jeff and everybody at Fox Sports San Diego who took home the hardware last night. Very well deserved." happy Father's Day to all those guys who are dads as well, including Mike Pomerantz and Mark Sweeney, who are coming up next. We'll take a break, come back. Bill and Seth will pick the head-to-head challenge, and then we'll hand it over to those guys. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Wrapping it up with Bill Center. We got to do our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. So we take a look at today's starting lineup in Arizona rubber game of the series. The lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Spangenberg, Alonso, Upton, Kemp, Norris behind the plate. Venable, Middlebrooks, Barmas, and Cashner. Bill, you've got the first pick. Who you got?
I'm taking Cashner. I think he's going to come off strong off of what Ross did last night. I got Cashner.
Okay, I like the pick, and I absolutely hope you're right and that you win today. Blooper, you're taking a position player. Who are you taking?
Justin Upton.
All right, there you go. Cashner and Justin Upton are the selections of the Supercuts head-to-head challenge at Supercuts. They pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy first day of summer. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night at 5:30.